W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
News
app.
I'm Mike DeBusky. On Capitol Hill, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee holding a hearing looking into Hunter Biden's plea deal on tax fraud charges. Two IRS employees expected to testify, claiming he got a so-called sweetheart deal. ABC's Jay O'Brien has reaction.
Democrats on the committee point out that David Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney for Delaware, who's running this investigation, has denied the claims from these whistleblowers that there was any kind of political interference in his investigation. And we also heard from Jared Moskowitz, who's a vocal Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, who will be inside that hearing room today. He called all of this a quote-unquote joke.
New Hampshire GOP Governor Chris Sununu announced he will not seek re-election for a fifth term in the 2024 election. Sununu earlier had considered entering the race for president, but decided not to run. Dangerous heat and health alerts. Phoenix headed towards another record day. This is ABC News. It's been nearly 30 years since rapper Tupac Shakur was shot and killed in Las Vegas, and this week police executed a search warrant in the case.
When police moved in, they did so with force, armored vehicles, and the SWAT team. ABC News obtaining this audio from a doorbell camera as a search warrant was carried out. Police on loudspeakers ordering everyone inside the home to come out. A source telling ABC News detectives were looking for computers and articles about Tupac and his death. The case will now be presented to a grand jury for possible charges. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump says it's apparent a toxic culture is rampant at Northwestern University's athletic department. He says he's received reports of hazing within the school's baseball and softball programs in addition to football. Yesterday, a former football player at the university filed the first lawsuit over the team's hazing scandal. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. A crash involving a dump truck and a passenger van leaves one person dead in Grand Chute. The incident happened Tuesday afternoon shortly after 4 p.m. at the intersection of North Lindale Drive and Broadway. Authorities say the dump truck was traveling southbound on Lindale and struck the van, killing the driver and causing the dump truck to overturn. The passenger in the van and the driver of the truck were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A teenager who was found guilty of murder is sentenced to 15 years in prison. 17-year-old Jeremiah Robinson was found guilty in May of killing 32-year-old Douglas Laster over what authorities say was a drug deal. The incident happened in a Walgreens parking lot in February of 2022 when Robinson was just 15. In addition to the prison time, Robinson will have 10 years supervision and must write an apology letter to the victim's family. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the talented, the wonderful Mr. Aaron Zommers, right on the other side of the window now in the other booth. Welcome back. It is Wednesday, July 19th, hour number two of the big show. Still getting used to this beautiful new studio we have high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison, the new world headquarters of Civic Media, Mr. Zommers. And it's kind of like it has that new studio smell and still trying to get used to the seats.
Yeah, definitely. It's weird. Like right now, I'm making eye contact and talking to Todd, which has not happened anytime during the show before Monday. Not once.
And I keep wanting to look back over at the screen because I'm so used to looking at the screen, right? Rather than to look at each other.
Such a simple thing that we take for granted, I guess.
I know, right? So I was driving home last night and I was going out of the parking ramp. And I drive, I drive a Dodge Ram 1500. It's not a small vehicle. And I'm going down the parking ramp. And a couple of young Yahoo dudes with their caps on backwards are driving this monstrosity pickup truck with a great big, huge mirrors out at the side and a full bed. My mine's a short bed. This is a full bed. And they're just barreling through the parking lot. And so, you know, Todd just, like, I stop. And, of course, I'm the one who backs up and lets them go through and acquiesce. And I just thought to myself, why do I always have to be that guy? You know, why do I have to be the one that stops and lets people through? Just once, I'd like to keep on trucking. And you know what would happen? I'd get hit.
Yep, it's because you care.
That is my luck. That is my luck. Well, first world problems, but that's what was on my mind this afternoon. Go back to the text line real quickly. Appreciate you listening to us last hour with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Talked about a variety of things when brought up Ronald Reagan at one point. One listener from WMDX here in Madison says, quote, Reagan, he played a huge part in the mess we're in economically in this country. How is that trickle-down economics working out for you? What a joke, unquote. Well, I wasn't defending everything Reagan said. To Trigby's point, we're going to do this one Wednesday. We will do an entire show dedicated to a debate and discussion of Reagan and the legacy. Because I certainly don't view him the way I used to. I'm just saying at the time, as a young person in 1980, 82, 83, 84, it was a different feeling than it is in 2023, looking through with the advantage of hindsight, right? So I think we're going to do a whole Reagan show. That's great. Another listener says from Waukesha, WAUK, quote, of course CJ supports and loves Reagan. All right. Says that he is angry. All right. Another listener from Waukesha, WAUK, not that Trump had any complicity with Putin BS, but Biden and crime family has taken over $100 million from China. Don't think that the Biden folks, the Biden family has taken that much money from China by a long shot, but we'll keep reading them. Says, shaking my head, like how you disparage MAGA, which is, quote, make America great again. Nothing liberals should be crowing about. Shaking my head.
Well, the thing is, it's right. not that we disparage the idea of America being good. It's that that phrase has come to mean more than just do things that are good. It has come to mean worship Donald Trump.
Exactly. And I think it's so interesting that people think that somehow Trump tried to make people think that he came up with this, make America great again. But I have that same poster, actually, that Trigby has, that has Reagan, Ronald Reagan. It says, make America great again. But it was very different. It was a unifying cause in 1980. It was not this divisive thing of attacking each other.
Right. Now, make America great again stands for, oh, all these gay folks and everything, just stop. Go back in your basement, in your closet.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what... And again, why does the Republican side, the MAGA side, keep bringing this up, right? That's the side that keeps bringing it up. Before the break, I want to note July 19th. So it was 175 years ago today, a little date in history. July 19th, 1848, 300 men and women gathered in Seneca Falls, New York. It was the first public political meeting on women's rights. Two-day conference marked the beginning of the movement for women's rights to vote. That right took 70 years to win with ratification of the 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Four of the convention's five women organizers were Quakers, a.k.a. the Religious Society of Friends. The fifth leader, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, not a Quaker, wanted the convention to just focus on fighting for women's right to vote, women's suffrage. However, Lucretia Mott and the other Quaker leaders wanted to address the roots of women's oppression, which they saw as, quote, mindless tradition and savage greed, unquote. You see, Quakers always wanted and viewed men and women as equals. Among Quakers, there's never been talk of women's rights. It was simply human rights. Seneca Falls convention goers approved a document called the Declaration of Sentiments, modeled after the U.S. Declaration of Independence. It started that, quote, all men and women are created equal, unquote, and it celebrated women's worthiness, criticized their subjugation, and articulated the rights they deserved. Participants also passed 12 resolutions designed to provide for women's equality, affirming their right to vote, such as the station of society and their conscience shall dictate and their sacred rights to the elective franchise. This date in history, 175 years ago today, Seneca Falls, New York. Back with your phone calls and more after this. This is the Tala Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. You don't have the app, you say? Well, the only better day to download the Civic Media app than today was yesterday. And we can't go back. So you might as well just do it today. Go to your app store on your iPhone or your Android. Type in Civic. That's C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It is free. Takes less than a minute. The Civic Media app. Or you can listen to Mr. Zomers and I every afternoon, 1 until 3, and all the other fine programming as well. Fine programming like our next guest at the bottom of the hour, coming up at 2:30, Tara Ariano. She is a national TV critic, writes for publications like GQ Magazine and Vanity Fair, also Vulture, The New York Times, Slate, Cracked.com, and she was the co-founder of the former TelevisionWithoutPity.com site. A really innovative site. Was one of the credited as one of the first places that put television synopsises together where you could kind of catch up on your shows and also offer critique at the same time. A lot of network executives followed Television Without Pity. They ended up selling it to NBC Universal, which unfortunately discontinued it. But Tara Ariano will be here at the bottom of the hour talking about the Screen Actors and Writers Guild strike going on right now across America. Going to ask her about that. Also going to ask her as a critic, we'll see if she answers this. Maybe she'll say she doesn't want to. I don't know. I want to compare notes. I'm going to write down my top 5 or 6 TV shows of all time in my mind, or ones I really like. And I'm going to ask her to give us hers. And we'll see the difference between a layperson viewer like Todd and an actual critic like Tara Ariano.
It'd also be interesting to compare to my favorites because as we talked about with, what the heck was his name the other day? Not yesterday, the day before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mind is going, but go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about loving bad things.
Right.
And that goes to TV shows as well. I like some that I definitely know critically. Leave a lot to be desired, but that's part of the appeal to me.
Very good. Coming up at 2:30, Tara Ariano, we will talk television strikes and everything else in the television world. Strikes are a theme, and I want to get your calls on this here in the next 15 minutes or, well, 10 minutes or so. Give us a call. On this, UPS has announced today, according to CBS News, UPS, yes, what can Brown do for you? That UPS will train non-union employees ahead of a looming strike. Should we have scab UPS workers? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would you trust your packages to somebody that had a couple of weeks training? Because that's all they got. All right? 844-967-2789. Dateline North Texas, according to CBS News, amid negotiations with UPS union employees, the company is taking preemptive actions to keep the packages moving. It's planning to train non-union employees in case drivers go on strike and make sure deliveries on goods and medications are not impacted. In a statement, the company insists the move is a temporary solution and not an effort to walk away from negotiations or permanently sweep out union workers. 97% of which voted in favor of a strike if a deal is not reached by July 31st. We talked about this on a previous show. delved into it. UPS, and believe it, I was working in retail before I doing a management gig for L.L. Bean, where almost all, probably 98, 99% of our stuff came from UPS or was delivered by UPS. And those trucks are not air conditioned. And so the workers have said, look, with the climate change, particularly in places like California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, temperatures are well over 100 degrees in some of these trucks. And so the union basically said, look, we want you to start providing air conditioning in these trucks, giving us reasonable work breaks to allow for bathroom usage and make conditions better. Now, UPS allegedly acquiesced to some of the air conditioning things, but they didn't say when that might be. So, yeah, it's fine to say, oh, sure, well, we'll put the air conditioners in as we replace the trucks. Well, that might be 5, 6, 7 years for some of these vehicles, right? So UPS, 97% of UPS workers voted to strike if a deal is not reached between the union and UPS by the 31st of this month. According to CBS this afternoon, UPS Teamsters make up half of the company's workforce. Drivers are demanding better benefits and working conditions. Several items have already been agreed upon, as I said, but the union is still looking for pay increases in both full and part-time workers. This would be the largest U.S. labor strike in more than 60 years if it goes through. The last time that UPS workers specifically went on strike was in 1997. Those employees were gone for so long that it meant there was a shutdown for operations for over 2 weeks. 1997, Mr. Zomers, I was around in 1997. I will tell you that the internet was not prolific at that point. And therefore, things like Amazon Prime did not exist. And so, yes, there were a lot of packages delivered by UPS in 1997, but nowhere near the reliance that we depend upon today.
Oh, yeah. At this point, it is an essential service because, as you mentioned, medications and other goods like food and everything need to be shipped to people. If you're disabled and you don't have somebody to take you in to pick up your meds, you need to get them delivered to you. And there are a lot of people who have that. Having worked in a pharmacy, I had to ship out a lot of stuff most days. And there, I see UPS from their perspective. They have two options. They have trained a bunch of scabs, sorry, non-union workers, to hold over because you can't not ship people meds.
Right.
Or make a deal with the union. And of course, they're choosing the one that is a Band-Aid, is a scab over the solution instead of actually doing the right thing. And I don't think that what the UPS union workers are asking for is unreasonable, especially the work condition things, but even the pay increase, because it's such an essential service now, it has become so much more important than it used to be. And it is a hard job.
I mean, I've talked to some of these drivers that would deliver stuff to L.L. Bean here in Madison. And oftentimes some of these packages were bulky and they were well over 100 pounds. And one driver is expected to deliver these packages. And by the way, oftentimes without a dolly, just lifting these things and walking long distances across stores or apartments, whatever. I mean, this is certain. I mean, I baled hay as a kid, all right, at my grandparents' farm. And some of these drivers on certain days are being put through at least the same type of conditions as baling hay. Let's go to, speaking of back home in Richland County, let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Yuba, Wisconsin. Yuba is in beautiful Richland County. That is where we find Lee. Lee in Yuba, what say you?
Hello, Todd. How you doing?
Well, better now that you're on the line with us. Thanks for listening on WRCE in Richland Center. What say you, sir, about this
you're
UPS?
Certainly welcome.
What say you about this looming strike?
Well, my family is a union family, and UPS makes tons of money, and they ought to have some of the executives that make millions of dollars come down and drive those trucks, work on the lines, and do the things that people have to do. They make all kinds of money off the backs of the working people, and unions built this country, and the you know, the working class, the middle class people. And I am definitely for the union, and I think the scabs that may come in and take over their jobs, I hope they get to pay the price by being in those overheated trucks and suffer what the people have to suffer every day.
I agree with you, Lee. I'm on board. I'm supporting the UPS workers on this, partly just for the reasons you said, but I saw this stuff with my own eyes when I was helping unload trucks. And like I said just before you came on, some of these drivers have to lift packages that are well over 100 pounds and sometimes without a dolly. Yeah. And not just in the truck, they're having to take them into a building or out of. I mean, it's really hard work, and they're on this clock, and they have to try to find a place to use the restroom.
Yes, and they move right along. I mean, they don't dally. We've had a number of people from UPS deliver to our farm, and they do their job. They do a darn good job, and some of these people that sit in leather chairs and don't do anything but smoke cigars and wish they had more money, you got to get out on the line and do some work.
I couldn't agree with you more. These top executives certainly could sacrifice some of those golden parachutes and actually help the workers. Lee, always appreciate you listening up there at WRCE in Richland Center in Yuba. Really appreciate the call. You have a great day, okay? All right, thank you so very much. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Appreciate you listening in. Let's go back to the phone line and go to Bev in Richland Center. Bev, thanks for listening up there in RC. What say you?
Well, I have to say that I agree with my fellow Richland County resident, Lee, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, I don't blame people taking the non-union jobs. Everybody's got a right to try to find a better job. Mm-hmm. And if someone's trying to get make more money for their family, it's hard to blame the folks that are taking what we consider to be the scab jobs.
Sure.
What I think is wrong is the fact that the company won't negotiate in faith with the workers and solve this strike before it happens.
It's one of those, to me, Bev, don't judge until you're in somebody else's shoes. And if you're trying to provide for a family and a $30 an hour job or whatever it is comes along, yeah, I get it. I'm not sure that I 100%, I mean, it still does hurt those workers trying to get better benefits. But, you know, if it's a person trying to provide for their family, hard to be too judgmental.
Yeah, and the unions have struggled, you know, since the beginning of the country with with the businesses bringing in scabs or bringing in the non-union labor. Mm. And it's never been good for anyone. Yeah. But you can't blame the folks who are just trying to make a living.
Bev, always appreciate listening in. It was great to meet you recently up there at Richland Center. You have a great day in Richland County. Bev, let's go down to Watertown. And Annie in Watertown, 1 minute before the break, it's all yours.
I've known a lot of people that work for UPS, and I know as drivers or the package handlers, it's really tough. Your driving record, I mean, you make one little mistake, you're out. I mean, it's rare when you get away with one little driving mistake. I mean, so that's tough. I know the last time they went on strike, it's like, oh, they make so much money. One thing is, I was so worried about my friends that were drivers that worked through the pandemic.
Yeah,
and they did, at risking themselves. And then after the pandemic, UPS got some kind of big, giant millions of dollars in bonus.
PPP, yeah, right.
And none of it went to the drivers.
Annie, thank you so much for up against the break. Annie in Watertown, thank you so much. Great point. Talk more about unions with the writer's strike and the actor's strike with Tara Ariano after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The U.S. says it's working with South Korea and Sweden to find out more about American Army Private Travis King, who was taken into custody in North Korea after he crossed the demilitarized zone. The 23-year-old was supposed to return to the U.S. to face possible discharge after his release from a South Korean prison on altercation charges. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they're trying to find out where he's being held.
The administration has and will continue to actively work
actively work to ensure his safety and the return of Private King to us and to the to his family, obviously.
The investigation into the Long Island serial killer murders expanding into other states. Suspect Rex Huerman had properties in both South Carolina and Las Vegas. He's charged with three murders dating back to more than a decade. Heat records breaking again across the country as dangerous triple-digit temperatures smother states from Florida to California. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
There's been another phone scam in northeast Wisconsin, this time in Door County. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Be on the lookout for phone calls from people claiming to be law enforcement. The Door County Sheriff's Office says they received complaints about scammers posing as deputies in an effort to extract money from people. There have been similar scams in Winnebago, Brown, and Marinette counties. Authorities say they'll never demand money over the phone, which includes cryptocurrency. If you do get a call like this, call your local law enforcement agency's non-emergency number right away. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
If you're looking for some fun for the whole family this weekend, the 139th Outagamie County Fair opened today in Seymour and runs through Sunday, the 23rd. Admission is $5, but a season pass for $20 is also available. For a schedule of events and attractions, go to outagamiecountyfair.com. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Boss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back in. Mr. Iron Zombers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Our next guest we welcome in, and so happy to have her here along with us. It is Tara Arellano, and she is a writer, a TV critic. She was the co-founder of a fabulous company and site called Television Without Pity, and she has appeared as a national critic of TV in places like GQ, Vanity Fair, Crack.com, and several others. And just found out she is also a podcaster. She has a podcast called Extra Hot Great. We welcome her in, Tara Arellano. Thanks for being here.
Hi, happy to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is ours, because people who know me know I love television. I'm 53, so I'm more of a broadcast. I'm still getting the hang of all the streaming stuff. It's just too much stuff sometimes for a guy or for anybody. And it's great to have a national critic who can help us sort through all this stuff. Tara, how did you, I guess, where did you grow up at, and what led you into the business of being a critic and writer for television?
Oh, well, I was initially born in the Saskatchewan, nice. Moved to the Niagara region of Ontario in high school, and then lived there through college, went to Toronto for grad school, and then I've lived all over the U.S. So I guess I got started writing in television because I'm like you. I just always loved TV, like back from when I was a pretty young kid. Mm. And so once the web revolution started, it was very easy to start a website. And so a friend of mine, Sarah D. Bunting, and my husband, David T. Cole, and I all started a website about Dawson's Creek. This is how long ago it was,
right?
25 years. And then, we just did recaps. And then after that was successful enough in the first year, we sort of expanded it out. And that turned into Television Without Pity, where we were covering dozens and dozens of shows every year.
I think for a lot of people, right, is some of our earliest memories. I'm trying to think of like the first TV that I remember having on in the house or watching that I specifically watched was probably Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, mm-hmm. and Captain Kangaroo. And then for mm-hmm. whatever reason, I was born in 69, and so I was around during the Watergate hearings. And I remember the Watergate hearings being on. But I mean, those are indelible moments in a person's life. What was your earliest memory of television?
I also was a Sesame Street watcher. Yeah. There were different shows that were paired with it in Canada, and I'm sure that listeners
do. You never know. We stream around. I mean, there could be some Canadian listeners. You never know.
Okay. Well, it was The Friendly Giant, and then Mr. Dress Up, and then Sesame Street. That was the rock block every day on the CBC. And then every day at lunchtime, it was The Flintstones, reruns of The Flintstones at noon.
Yeah.
And then The Muppet Show was probably a really formative show for me when I was a kid. I think we are around the same age, so I wasn't quite old enough for Watergate, but I'm sure we have a lot of the same cultural touchstones.
But you know, my parents got divorced when I was 11 or so, and so my sister and I would come home, my mom would be working, and we're kind of latchkey kids, right? And so television was kind of the babysitter and the companion. We'd turn it on, whether it was reruns on TBS or whatever, TNN at the time, of The Jeffersons and Good Times. Mm-hmm. And you just watched those until mom came home.
Yeah, same here. I was also a latchkey kid. So it was definitely a lot of syndicated sitcoms in the afternoon. Soap, Alice, Three's Company, which was certainly very inappropriate. But if it's on at 4:30, you're going to watch it.
Right? But it you know, now with all the options out there, but I grew up in a small town of 5,000 people in Southwest Wisconsin. And, you know, I can remember when there were basically 6-8 channels. And then boy, when you got cable, holy cow, that was crazy to get to get Atlanta and Chicago and that sort of thing. But do you think that with more options, it's that the quality has been lost, or are we getting more quality because of more options now?
That's a good question. I don't think that quality and options don't necessarily correlate. I definitely think we are losing the shared experience of television just because, you know, like you said, there's so many streaming services. Everyone doesn't have all the same ones. There's a lack of opportunity to just all be watching the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the Super Bowl, maybe the Oscars, and that's kind of it, where just everyone is gathered watching the same thing.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, at the streaming services, some of their shows are good. Some of them are crappy. Do I watch Love is Blind? Of course. But just because something is streaming doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be higher quality.
Well, I mean, the shared experience you hit on. I was around, you know, a big CBS family in our household and big, huge Dallas fans. And I was, I literally moved about 3 weeks ago. I was trying to clean out boxes of stuff that I like, Todd, it's time to go to St. Vinny's. And I found my old shirt, my t-shirt from when I was a kid that had Larry Hagman's picture on it that said, "Who shot JR?"
I mean,
millions and millions of, it was the highest rated show at the time. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but MASH, the final episode of MASH is still the highest rated broadcast TV program in history, is it not?
I think
It's not a Super Bowl or not a special. Like
Yes. I think that's right.
And so the point is that the old, you know, sit around the water cooler or whatever, people would gather and you'd actually say to each other, so who do you think shot JR? What do you think of that episode of Hawkeye and BJ? And we'd all know it because we all watched it. And there's something lost in society about bringing us together when we don't have it.
Yeah, there's the monoculture is dead for better or worse. And there are different tiers of like shows that get incredible ratings that do well across the board, you know, on broadcast versus shows that get a lot of buzz. And, you know, I'm sure there are lots of people that watch both Dancing with the Stars and Succession, but they definitely occupy different spaces culturally in terms of, you know, respect and prestige and so forth.
Let me ask you this, Dancing with the Stars, better or worse without Tom Bergeron?
I am not a regular watcher of that show, but when I have seen it, he's the secret sauce. I think definitely right? worse. I can't imagine.
I haven't watched anyone
saying otherwise.
I haven't watched it since they fired him. Haven't been back.
They moved it to Disney Plus, but now they're moving it back.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well,
yes.
And Len Goodman passed away. God rest his soul. This last year. So
we miss him.
we all miss Len Goodman. Absolutely. So. You had this great, you and a couple of the co-founders started Television Without Pity. And yes. I think it's just a wonderful thing. It was started, and I'll just look at my notes, 1998. You sold it to NBC, Bravo, Universal in 2007, and unfortunately they did away with it in 2014. But explain to folks what this was, and quite frankly, the influence that you guys had.
Yeah, it was a website where before it was very easy to watch anything that you wanted on the internet, which you now can and could at, you know, the tail end of our time at the site. But back then, if you missed a show, you missed it and you might not ever get a chance to watch it again. And so our site was both entertaining, I think, on its own, but also provided a service which was extremely long, detailed, blow-by-blow recaps of TV episodes. And, you know, everyone does them now. You see them on TV Line and Vulture and Decider and lots of places. I've certainly written for those as well. but no one was doing them for, like, I mean, truly just thousands of words these things ran. And, you summed up the history well. And so we covered all of the shows that were running in that time that were really buzzy and got a lot of fanatical attention from our readers.
So my paternal grandmother, God rest her soul, was a huge daytime soap opera watcher. So, you know, watch The Young and the Restless since I was a kid, As the World Turns, later on The Bold and the Beautiful. I will admit to you, there was a point in my life where I would buy, on occasion, not a subscriber, Soap Opera Digest. So I could read about the episodes that I missed so I could keep up on it. You kind of, is that kind of the online version of this, only much, much larger and much more successful?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's accurate to say we were more successful than Soap Opera Digest. They are still around. We're not. But yes, that's the idea. If you missed an episode, we would tell you in extreme detail what happened. And if you did watch it, I think, you know, we certainly heard that people still read the recaps because they were just, you know, fun and funny and entertaining and insightful.
I think you may be being a little bit humble here, because what I read is that Alan Sorkin at the height of the West Wing was basically writing an episode or changing storylines based on what you guys wrote.
There is talk of that. Yes. I mean, I think we always say we don't know for sure he was talking about us. There were multiple websites at that time that were critical of the West Wing and of his portrayal of women in particular. Mm-hmm. But yes, there is an episode called The U.S. Poet Laureate, I believe that I think that's the one where, one of the characters, Josh, the Bradley Whitford character, gets in a fight with the moderator of a website who has said some things he did not appreciate.
I mean, to have Alan Sorkin take notice, and I think there were other people, other executives in TV, because the great line of this that Television Without Pity had was, spare the snark, spoil the networks. I love that.
Yeah, you got to keep them in line. Right? Yeah, you can't let them think they can get away with whatever they want.
Because I think television over the years has just gotten lazy. Because I said this once, I said it twice, I said it 1,000 times, to quote David Letterman, I love great writing. And I think writing is an art, whether you believe in God or the universe. It is beyond our human capacity. It is a gift. And I love things that are well written. And I think television slowly has gotten lazier in its writing. Is that really the writer's fault, or is that what the network executives are asking for?
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily true. If you watch, as I have done, Melrose Place, for example, there's a lot of lazy writing there, right, for sure.
Fair enough.
You know, I think there's highs and lows in every era, and that you can't really generalize like that. But, you know, it definitely, I think show writers have to respond to the ways that people consume TV and assume, you know, we may only have 30% of the viewer's attention because they're also on their phone. They're, you know, they're second screening this show and they're looking up stuff as we're talking about it. We have to, you know, maybe be a little more repetitive in some of our plot points on a lesser show to make sure that they're bringing the viewer along.
I think you're fair to say not everything is lazy. And again, I'm not a huge streamer. I'm in the middle of streaming the third season of Picard on Paramount Plus because I'm a big Star Trek fan. I think that's beautifully written. I think Picard's been really well done. Not just because it's my name, but I think So Help Me Todd on CBS. I think that's a really smart comedy. I think that's really well written as well. But then this other with Fire Country, this like big, I've tried to get into it and it's just like, I mean, it's just sloppy. I think, I don't know.
Yeah. That's not one I've engaged with, but once you finish Picard, you should watch Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus.
Is it good? I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's my favorite of the new Trek shows, probably.
Really? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big Trek fan, so I will check it out. What are you, I guess as a critic, do you find yourself, well, geez, I have to watch this. Are there still are there still things that you're like, I just want to watch it because I like it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
What are some of those?
I watch TV all the time. Most of it I'm not writing about. So yeah. Currently I'm obsessed with the new season of Project Runway All Stars. That's on Bravo. Mm-hmm. They've brought back a lot of contestants from past seasons. It's the show that you remember. Christian Siriano has now replaced Tim Gunn as the mentor. Mm-hmm. So that show's a lot of fun. And just like that, the Sex and the City sequel, I understand is not for everyone, but I still think there are some solid laughs there. And it's very enjoyable and a real turn your brain off kind of show, with great fashion on that one too, actually. That's the commonality between them. And the current season of Righteous Gemstones has been extremely strong. They brought in Kristen Johnston and Steve Zahn as guest stars, new family members for the Gemstones, and they have been spectacular. That's been a really strong return for season 3.
About a minute and a half left. We're going to talk about the strike when we come back. But you also write for crack.com, our mutual friend Chris Pauls. Great article this month. I can't say the entire thing on the air, but it's called Meet Luke McFlane, McFarlane, rather. Meet Luke McFarlane, Platonics Stable. And I can't say the word because it's not FCC friendly. And so it's stupid right. That I can't say that. But it's on Apple TV Plus. I love Luke McFarlane, A, for a great actor, and also because he's hot. Is he a nice guy?
He was so nice. Yes.
Really?
He was lovely to talk to.
That makes me happy.
And that show is great. He's excellent in it.
And I was a huge Brothers and Sisters fan, so
he was
fantastic in that.
He's also Canadian, too. We had that in common.
Another Canadian. Tara Ariano is our guest, writer and TV critic. Don't go anywhere. Todd Allball's show on Civic Media continues after this.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes before our colleague Matt Flynn takes over. Matt Flynn Direct, you're not going to want to miss it. And then at 4 o'clock, of course, it's the Devil's Advocate. At 6 o'clock, the Maggie Dawn Show. At 8, Rick Smith Across America. And at 10 o'clock, our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Right now, our guest this hour is Tara Arellano. Get the name right. Thank you, Todd. She is a writer. She is a TV critic, co-founder of Television Without Pity. She writes for things like GQ, Vanity Fair, Vulture, New York Times, Slate, Crack.com. She has a podcast called Extra Hot Great. Great name for a podcast. And you have a new book out.
It's not so new. It came out in 2020, but yes, I have a book called...
It's on pandemic time. We're all a little off,
I suppose that's right.
Right? It's new to a lot of people. So
That's true. We did not get to tour it. So yes, it's new to you. It's called A Very Special 90210 Book. Sarah D. Bunting and I co-wrote it. My co-founder I mentioned earlier from Television Without Pity, and it covers 90 plus, or possibly just 90, it's been a while, I forget, but several extremely important episodes from the 10 seasons of Beverly Hills 90210. People may think they were just the high school years and maybe a couple of college years and that was it. No, there were 3 seasons after they graduated from college, and those are not widely represented in our book, but we did cover them, sort of.
Why do series always go that? It never works with kids like that when they try to go after they graduate or after they move out of the house. It just never works.
Yeah. It didn't work in this case, that's for sure. But I guess enough people were still watching it that they kept it on.
And the name of the book again, please?
A Very Special 90210 Book. You can get that wherever books are sold. There's also an audiobook, which we read, and that's from Abrams.
Well, that's fantastic. That's awesome. Not a lot going on in Hollywood or anywhere else right now involving actors or writers. The Screen Guild the Screen Actors Guild and the writers both on strike right now. And a lot of this, you tell me, because you're there, you're the expert, but in my layman's terms, a lot of this revolves around AI and whether or not actors and writers are going to receive residuals, and also streaming versus linear TV. Do I have those two things right?
Yes. I mean, AI has definitely been the grabbiest thing that's been reported on, I think, because it's new, it's weird, people don't understand it, it seems scary, and is. So yes, that's part of it, that both guilds' cases, they wanted to make sure that writers and actors were not being put out of work by AI, basically. So the one of the instances that was reported out last week was that the AMPTP, the producers, wanted to have the right to basically scan a background artist and then use their image digitally in perpetuity and not pay them.
It
feels like super villain kind of business.
Right?
So, yeah. And so I think, you know, people may look at these strikes and think these are already very well paid, you know, performers, writers. Mm. What do they need this for? But, you know, there's a middle class and an underclass in both of these professions, and they're not living high on the hog. Most of them are not making their living doing their art you know, even if they are in the guild. Mm-hmm. And so this is what the strike is for. It's not for the people at the top. It's not for Tom Cruise. It's for, you know, the background actor that goes on a shoot, gets paid $500 for the day, hopes that they can do it again, doesn't want to have their job essentially stolen by, you know, a computer, which is what's at risk. And so this is all, this is about protecting the middle class of these professions and making it so that you can continue to do it. I mean, there's, you see stories, especially in the Writers Guild, when that strike has been going on longer, of people who wrote on network shows and are saying like, the only reason I can continue to write in the streaming era is because I bought my house from what I made, you know, writing on Knott's Landing, writing on Taxi, like writing on these shows, because network shows, the protections were so much better. On streaming, when that those deals were initially struck, it was sort of like, these are web shows, we don't know what they are. And now it's like streaming is where most people are getting their television, and the people that make it are not getting properly compensated for it. And so that's what these strikes are about, to make sure that both of those two things, that AI doesn't replace anyone, and that people are getting compensated for the work that they're doing from the places where they're being broadcast, because it's not on linear TV mostly anymore.
Fran Drescher, the president of the Actors Guild, who I think has done a remarkable job, by the way, being out there. She was on CBS Mornings this morning. And, you know, she made the point that when they shot The Nanny, that was at the minimum, I think she said like 23 episodes per season, right, maybe up to 28. And now with some of these streaming shows, the season is 8 episodes. And then they move on. And so, well, The Nanny gets shown on whatever syndication, when you see it at 11 o'clock at night or whatever on a weekend, those writers and actors are still making residuals off of those reruns. But if it's on a streaming service, it gets a lot more murky, and there's no guarantee that the actors and writers are getting the residual of the eyeballs that are seeing it.
Well, there it's that. And then there is also that, you know, the way that ratings are reported by these streamers is extremely opaque. So this isn't public information. Like when Netflix says a billion minutes of this show was watched, what does that mean? Right. they could tell us anything, we wouldn't know. And I'm sure that's part of it too, where it's like you all of this accounting could be very suspect. So that's a concern as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right. All these old shows, people are still making money off them, because those contracts in those days were ironclad, and they were covering all of the possibilities of when and how people would see these shows. And now with streaming, it's, you know, something that originates on streaming, it could run, and then it could get yanked off of the platform 3 days after its finale, which happened to, you know, Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies. It's now nominated for Emmys. You can't see it because Paramount Plus took it offline. So all of those are concerns that, you know, the idea that you could do this work, not get paid for it, and it could poof away and not exist in any form. Those are all alarming developments that are bad. Bad for consumers, bad for producers, just bad.
Somebody who's been in the industry, has worked in it and covered it, any gut sense how long this might last?
Boy, I was talking to another critic yesterday, and his estimate was the median he had heard was 4 or 5 months. So that would take us into the new year.
Yeah.
You know, almost. So we may not be seeing scripted shows for quite a while, other than what's already in the pipeline.
Good gravy. That's going to be tough.
And you may not hear about them anyway, because the people that made them can't go out and do interviews to support them.
Can they even do an interview and just talk about themselves?
They can talk about themselves, I believe, as long as they don't talk about any work they did for any strut company. So, you know, if they want to go and talk about their skincare line, sure. If they want to talk about the show they just finished, no, they can't.
That is fascinating. Tara Ariano, we ran out of time. We'll love to hear about your own favorite TV show sometime. We'd love to have you back. Thank you very much for taking the time today. You can find her at Extra Hot Great, her podcast, as well as GQ Vanity Fair and Crack.com and others, and our new book coming out. It is Tara Ariano. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, keep banging your drum.
Whether you're grilling burgers at the cabin or roasting hot dogs around a campfire, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls are a summertime essential. With so many varieties to choose from, including classic white and wheat, unsliced old-fashioned, brioche, gourmet French, and flavorful onion, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth has the buns and rolls your family will love. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth, baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Morgan Norwood.